Good morning. Hope everyone's had a good start to the week so far. And just for those that are visiting, Jeff, who is our pastor, is one that had back surgery. Like Mark said, he's doing a whole lot better, continuing to get his strength back. But the huge praise is that his pain has been greatly, greatly reduced and doing a whole lot better. So we just continue to lift him up. If you have your Bible with you this morning, turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 10. Starting off with a quote from Dwight D. Eisenhower this morning. It says, "Your task will not be an easy one. Your enemy is well trained and well equipped and battle hardened, and he will fight savagely." And Dwight D. Eisenhower wrote this letter. First drafted through the troops in 1944 about the Nazis, but could sum up why we need the armor of God to stand against our enemy, the devil. As Christians, we are called to put on the full armor of God and stand our ground against attacks of the devil. Before we can defend against attacks of Satan, we need to carefully put on each part of the armor of God with prayer, so we are able to take a stand against the attacks of the devil. Ephesians 6:13 says, "Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you'll be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand." But there's no way we can fight a battle sitting down. It would be too hard to sit there and try to engage an enemy when we're seated. We live in a day and time where it's completely common to have no respect for God or his word. A day where kidnapping, murder are regular features on the nightly news. Bullying and lying and cheating are just stories on the gossip chain. Doesn't that sound like evil? If we just sit there and look at the news right now, all the different things that are going on in this world, it's not good, it's evil. It's going against what God wants. This is a point where it's evil, and it's something that we need to be able to stand our ground against. We need to be able to determine if it's truth or if it's not. If it's evil, we need to be able to take a stand as Christians against that. This is a point where we each must make a personal decision. What do we stand for? What do we stand against? If the answer to that question is something along the lines, "I don't know," or "I'm not sure," then I have some not so good news for you. If you don't stand for something, you will fall for anything. If we don't know what we're going to take a stand against, we'd have nothing to stand for. But if we know that we put our faith and trust in Jesus and have faith in him, that's what we stand for. His word is truth, and we need to stand on that truth. Deciding, do you want to be the kind of person that stands for something that is important, or the kind of person who falls for anything that comes along? Again, if we're just being like a blade of grass in the wind, we'll just get pushed around. We're not going to have a solid foothold. Deciding what you stand for is one of the most important things we can do every day. And it's a decision that is made by you and only you. No one else can make that decision for you. We each have to make that decision of what we're going to stand for. If you stand for something only because someone else told you to, that will fade away. If you stand for something only because it's popular, what happens when it's no longer popular? What you stand for must be decided by you, because you're the one who can stand for it. In Ephesians 6:10 through 17, Paul talks about what we need to do to prepare for the spiritual battles that we face and what we need to take a stand for. Stand against each day. "Finally, be strengthened by the Lord and his vast strength. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the tactics of the devil. For our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world powers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavens. This is why you must take up the full armor of God, so you'll be able to resist in the evil day. And having prepared everything, to take your stand. Stand, therefore, with truth like a belt around your waist, righteousness like armor on your chest, and your feet sandaled with the readiness for the gospel of peace. In every situation, take the shield of faith, and with it, you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take to the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word. Let's open up with prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time we can gather inside this building and just worship you through music. As we come before you this morning, Lord, just take away the distractions of the week. Lord, just let us focus on you and just prepare our hearts and mind to receive your word this morning, Lord. And just lift up Jeff again to you, Lord, and Trista, that you will continue to just heal his body, Lord, and give him the strength that he needs. And we thank you that he is improving so much. Just again, Lord, just help us focus on you this morning. We just thank you for this time in your precious name. Amen. One of the very first things we see is the belt of truth. It's fitting that the belt of truth is the first piece of the whole armor of God. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and it's only through him that we come to God. Therefore, truth is the utmost importance in the life of a Christian. Without truth, the rest of the armor would be of no use to us because we would not have the spirit of truth. When we talk about the whole armor of God, Paul's referring to, invokes that image of a soldier ready for battle. The belt of a Roman soldier is not like what we think about today. Something just small, simple piece of leather or cloth. It was thick, heavy leather with metal bands on it, with a protective piece hanging down in the front. The belt held the soldier's sword and other weapons. That's what the foundation was. I mean, you can't take something small and try to hold on to everything on it. I was in the military, we had a web belt, and with that belt, you would attach everything to it. That way you could attach the different tools that you would need going into battle. But why of all things a belt? I mean, why didn't he start with the mighty sword, the towering shield of faith, that shiny breastplate of righteousness? Anything but a measly old belt. But he did not, and it begs the question why. Because the belt played a crucial role in the effectiveness of the soldier's armor. It was the belt that held the scabbard. Without it, there would be no place to put the sword. Can you just see an overzealous soldier running off into battle? Fired up and charging into battle, but without his belt? Consequently, without a weapon. The belt of the truth holds the sword of the Spirit, linking the truth and the word of God. And the word of God is truth. And we all know the belt goes around our waist. But does our conviction to the truth go around us like a belt? As Scripture talks about, truth must be bound around us and written on our hearts. Our conviction must reach beyond an outward show. Our conviction to truth needs to be deep inside of us, not just an outward show of emotion or something along those lines. It needs to be something that's deep-seated inside of each one of us. And what does truth protect against? It protects against lies. We all face so many different types of lies in our lives every day. Lies that tell you you're not good enough, pretty enough, or smart enough. Lies that tell you that you're not worth it. Lies that tell you that God is not real, that he is not strong, that he can't protect you. Lies that tell you there is no plan for you. These are all lies, and they're ones that we will each face in our own circumstances in our life. So when we're getting ready to start our day or facing difficult time throughout our days, we need to think about this. What truth do you know? You know that God loved you so much that he gave his one and only son for you. You know that he wants you to be with you forever. We know that he has a plan for us. We need to mentally put on this truth on ourselves every day as we walk into the battleground of our daily lives, so that when we face these lies, the first thing we think about is the truth that we know. John 14:6 says, Jesus told them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 17:17. Sanctify them by truth. Your word is truth. Psalms 25, 5. Guide me in your truth. Teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. I wait for you all day long. Then the next piece we come to is a breastplate of righteousness. Like a Roman soldier's breastplate, this breastplate protects our vital organs spiritually. Whenever we enter the battlefield, Satan will attempt to pierce our most vulnerable areas. Therefore, God equips us with the breastplate of righteousness to prevent Satan from delivering a fatal blow. The breastplate of righteousness refers to the righteousness purchased for us by Jesus on the cross. It is specially designed by God to protect our heart and our soul from evil and deception. Our own righteous acts are no match for the devil's attacks. We can't do it on our own. We need to have God there with us. We need to put his righteousness and wrap ourselves in that. The breastplate of righteousness has Christ's name stamped on it, as though God has said, your righteousness isn't sufficient to protect you. Wear mine. We put it on by seeking God and his righteousness above everything else. We make him and his ways in our dwelling place. We delight in his commands and desire for his ways to become ours. When God reveals an area of change to us, we need to obey and allow him to work in us. At any point when we say no to God, we open a crack in our armor to allow the devil's arrows to get through. As we continue to wear the breastplate of righteousness, we begin to develop a purity of heart that translates into actions. Wearing this breastplate creates a lifestyle of putting into practice what we believe in our hearts. As our lives become conformed to the image of Christ, our choices become more righteous. And these godly choices also protect us from further temptation and deception. Once we have the breastplate of righteousness in place, that's where we can combat the snares the devil has set up for us that attempt to take us away from the path that God has for us. Isaiah 59:17 says, he put on righteousness like a breastplate, a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on garments of vengeance for clothing. He wrapped himself in zeal as a cloak. 1 John 2:29, if you know that he is righteous, you know that this as well. Everyone who does what is right has been born of him. Proverbs 8:20, I walk in the way of righteousness along the paths of justice. Then the next piece we come to are the shoes of the gospel of peace. Or like it says in verse 15, and your feet are sandaled with the readiness for the gospel of peace. I mean, that's the one thing that we put on every day before we leave the house is we put on shoes. But can you imagine a fully armed soldier? He has his sword, his shield, his helmet, his breastplate, his belt. But your feet are completely bare. Very hard to go in to fight when you're trying to walk over that rocky parking lot out there or where the thorns are. This picture seems strange, and it should. Just by thinking about it, we can tell something is missing. We go back to that word readiness in verse 15. It implies a constant vigilance. A victorious soldier had to be prepared for battle. He had to study his army strategy, be confident in his own strategy, and have his feet firmly planted so he could hold his ground when the attacks come. A soldier's battle shoes were often studded with nails or spikes like cleats to help him keep his balance in combat. Can you imagine going out and trying to fight with very slick bottom shoes? You try to take a stand and hold your ground, you're just going to slide across the ground. Or going out into an ice skating rink with a pair of shoes on, there's no way you're going to get any traction. That's why we need to get the readiness and be prepared so we can, even on that slippery ground, we have something to hold us there and keep us firmly in place. He knew that if he lost his footing and went down, it wouldn't matter how great the rest of his armor was, the enemy had him. When we slip and fall, that opens up that armor, crack in that armor, so we can be vulnerable for attack. When we are ready with the gospel of peace, we live with the understanding that we are continually under attack from the devil. In short, the shoes allow us to step freely and without fear while we turn our full attention to the battle at hand. The word gospel literally means good news. That is because the fact that God loves us so much, again, he sent his son to save us, is good news. So this is a part of the armor of God. It's not so much for you as it for those you will meet throughout your day. You know, we are called to be disciples. We are called to take the gospel out. I mean, once we accept him in our heart, we have that assurance of salvation. But we literally need to go out there and take it to the people we interact with, the people that we talk to. No matter where we go, we need to always be prepared to tell others about the gospel, the good news of peace that you have with God, so that they can have it too. We can also share this gospel with others by how we interact with them. We can share the good news by our actions. There's so many times we're going to have the interaction with people that we see at the grocery store, at the gas station, at restaurants. A lot of times we may have that opportunity to speak to them, but how we act will really reflect who we are. If we get angry and upset like everyone else around us, people are going to think, oh, they're just like everyone else. But if we have a different attitude and people can see that, they're going to go, there's something different about that person. I wonder what it is. And it'll open up that maybe a door for conversation at some point. But we need to always be prepared. The Great Commission gives us a reason why we should share the good news. Because Jesus commanded us to go into all the world and share the good news. But the first place we need to start sharing that is within our homes and our local community. Matthew 28:16-20 said, the 11 disciples traveled to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came near and said to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am always with you to the end of the age. So no matter where we go, where God takes us, he is always with us. But we're commanded to go and share and take the good news to everyone. In addition to standing our ground, shoes are also for moving. God does expect us to go on the offensive and take the gospel of peace to others like we just talked about. In 1 Peter 3:15 says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who is asking you to give reason for the hope that we have. This is something that we need to think about every day. We need to ask ourselves, what will we say given the opportunity to talk to someone about Jesus? But more importantly, if someone questions us about our faith, do we have the answers? Are we prepared to give those answers? We always need to be prepared to share and give a defense for our faith. When we have studied to show ourselves approved unto God, we are ready to stand firm in the gospel of peace, no matter what the enemy brings against us. 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, correctly teaching the word of truth. The next thing we see is a shield of faith. I think the shield's pretty cool because it's one of the first pieces that we don't simply put on, but we must pick up. When our faith in God's power and love is strong, it is impossible for the devil to break through our shield and land a blow. Faith means more than just believing that God exists, of course. It includes a firm belief that everything God does is truly for our good. Also, faith is the absolute conviction that God always does what he promised. Abraham had faith and trusted in God's ability to fulfill what he had promised. Romans 4:18-21 says, he believed, hoping against hope, so that he would become the father of many nations, according to what what had been spoken. So will your descendants be? He considered his own body to be already dead since he was 100 years old, and also considered the deadness of Sarah's womb. Without weakness in the faith, he did not waver in unbelief at God's promise, but it was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God because he was fully convicted that what he had promised, he would also be able to perform. We have to have that just faith and trust that God's going to do. God has a plan for each one of us. And even when we think that the task seems impossible, like Abraham and Sarah having kids when they're in their hundreds, God has that ability to step through. When we think we can't, God's there. We just got to have that deep faith. Faith also protects us in many ways. Think about Daniel in the lion's den. Faith was like a shield that protected Daniel from those vicious teeth. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were protected from the fiery furnace. They took such a stand for what they believed, they were willing to be thrown into the lion. Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't bow down to the statue. They got thrown into a fiery furnace because they stood their ground. They knew it was going against what God had commanded them to do. They were willing to stand their ground no matter what the consequences are. And that's what we have to be able to do, is have that kind of faith that we can stand our ground no matter what. Faith is powerful and protects us from many spiritual temptations and danger. The shield of faith is just not for protection. The Roman shield at the time was as large as a door and could cover the warrior entirely. Can you just imagine picking up something the size of a door and going off into battle? Such a shield was not just for defense, but could also be used to push an opponent. When fighting as a group, the soldiers would position their shields to form an enclosure around themselves. This was especially helpful to protect against the arrows that were launched from the walls of the city they were attacking. The shields were often made of wood and then covered in a hide when wet could extinguish the flaming arrows. So this is where it's important, that is we can go into battle ourselves, but what's protecting our back? If I got a breastplate on, I got nothing in the back. I can't see behind me. But if I'm in community with other believers, they can watch my back. We need to lock together, and just, you know, that way we can stand our ground together, because it's easier to stand our ground when we're in community with fellow believers than trying to do it on our own. You're going through a hard time, difficult time. We can try to go on our own, just trusting God. But what if we get that person that in our life that we trust and can confide in, and they can come in and step in with us? They can watch mine, I can watch their back. We can lock arms and lock shields and just push through those times. We can't do it on our own, because I remember when we were getting shut down for COVID over the last couple of years, just in the conversation I had with people, you know, it's like, yeah, I can, you know, watching church online is good, and there's reasons for that. But there's something missing when we can't meet in this building and have community and fellowship with other believers. That's what really gives us the strength to get through the things we're facing. A shield is vitally important to a soldier. It provides a blanket of protection. It is meant to be taken up in all circumstances. It is the first barrier against the enemy's attack. When we fellowship with believers and help each other through our doubts, we form a stronger barrier against the devil. Faith is a personal decision. We can't buy it, sell it, or give it to our friends. It is a personal decision we have to make each and every day. Every day, we must have faith that we know the truth that comes from God. We must have faith that God is good and that he'll keep his promises. We must have faith that our God has a plan for us, and that plan will be God's will, not our own. So many times we think, I got this plan, I got that plan. But are we actually saying, God, what is your plan for my life? And that's what we need to have, the faith and trust that God has a plan. He has a plan for each of us. We just have to be faithful and allow him to work that and show it to us. This faith will protect us, because with it we can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. But how can something like faith extinguish the flaming arrows? It's not our faith that can. It is who we have our faith in that can. If our faith is in God, He is much stronger than anything the devil could ever throw at us. So every day, as we enter into our daily routine, remember to pick up the shield of faith. Psalms 33:20, we wait and hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Hebrews 11:1, faith shows the reality of what we had hoped for, the evidence of things we cannot see. N.T. Wright said, it's not great faith you need, it's faith in a great God. That's what we need when we're going to, you know, we can have a great faith in something else, but if it's not in God, it's nothing. Our faith needs to be rooted in God. Then we come to the helmet of salvation. Kind of a dumb question, but what does a helmet protect? It protects our heads. So what do you think a spiritual helmet protects? A spiritual helmet is going to protect our minds and our thoughts. The definition of salvation is preservation or deliverance from harm, ruin, or loss. If we're living in sin, that's what we are. We are, you know, we're in harm, ruin, loss. We're separated from God. But when we take that salvation, that's what we're delivered from. We're preserved from that. And salvation is protection that only comes from the Lord. We can't put it on. From the moment we decide to follow Jesus, we are saved. However, we must choose to put on that helmet of salvation every day because we have hope in our salvation. In other words, the devil likes to plague us with doubts about our salvation, inject worldly ideas, and have us focus on the minute instead of the eternity. So many times we have that salvation, but we have to pick that up every day and get that daily deliverance and preservation from the harm and loss and the sin that we face every day. The assurance of salvation is our impenetrable defense against anything the enemy throws at us. Jesus said in Matthew 10:28, Don't fear those who kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. Rather, fear him who is able to destroy both the soul and body in hell. The idea in this verse is that we are prepared for Satan's attacks. We must grab that helmet and buckle it on tightly. We have knowledge of the salvation that Jesus offers us, and we know what he did for us, how much he loves us. When we are tempted to think things we should not be thinking, facing the trials that come our way, or tempted to believe the lies that we talked about earlier, remember what Jesus has done for us, and remember how much he loves us. Because he loves us enough to send his own son. And as a father, I don't know if I can give up any of my kids, but Jesus didn't hesitate. He knew what God's will was for him, and that was to come and to give us that gift of salvation. As we wear the helmet of salvation every day, our minds become more insulated against the suggestion, desires, the traps the enemy lays for us. We choose to guard our minds from excessive worldly influence. Instead, think on the things that honor Christ. In doing so, we wear our salvation as a protective helmet that will, again, guard our hearts and our minds in Christ. Our salvation is the most incredible gift ever. How often do we take it for granted? Sadly, we can go days, weeks, months, probably even years sometimes, without thinking about this gift that God gave us. But we need to refresh our memory every day of that gift God gave us by staying in Scripture, praying in all circumstances, and remembering who has the ultimate victory. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any moral excellence, and if there is any praise, dwell on these things. 1 Thessalonians 5:8. But since we belong to the day, we must be serious and put on the armor of faith, love on our chest, and put on the helmet of the hope of salvation. In Romans 12:1-2, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. The next part we come to is the sword of the Spirit. What is the sword of the Spirit? It's the word of God. Now, putting on this piece of armor is difficult because we really don't put this piece of armor on, because again, we must pick up the sword and use it as a weapon against the enemy we face daily in our spiritual battles. The Bible truly functions as a sword in its ability to cut through the innermost depths of a person's heart and soul. God's word can penetrate through all the layers of impurity and get to the true central issues of life. God's word is powerful. So powerful that it's referred to as a sword. If we were going into battle, we want to take a weapon with us. So when we go out into our daily lives, we need to be taking the sword with us, spending time in it, getting to know it, so it can cut to the innermost part of the issues that we face. The sword, which is the word of God, is an offensive weapon that we can use in our spiritual battle. How do we effectively use the sword so that we can defend ourselves in spiritual battles? To effectively use the word of God, we must learn all we can about it, including the context each passage is written. But we must be careful not to use the word of God out of context or by applying our own cultural biases onto it. So we start looking back at how Scripture was written. Look at the history, the culture. When Paul was writing this, he could describe the armor of a Roman soldier. That was what was familiar to him and his readers. That's why he described it that way. So when the people were getting this letter, they could go, that makes sense. I know what all this looks like. If we were to try to describe what we have now to the people back then, they would have no clue. So it was putting out that we had to get into the culture, get into the context, because a lot of the culture will kind of explain the setting of what we need to get out of the Scripture, because it was written to the people that time, not to us. But it was written for us too. We just need to be able to separate those out and understand what the intention was to that original reader. The sword is both offensive and defensive weapon used by a soldier or warriors. In this case, it is a weapon that belongs to the Holy Spirit that he gives to us. Swords were used to protect oneself from harm or attack. The enemy. Swords were used to protect oneself from harm or to attack the enemy to overcome or to kill him. In both cases, it was necessary for the soldier to get rigid training on the proper use of the sword to get maximum protection from it. We all need the same rigid training to know how to properly handle the sword of the Spirit, again, which is the word of God. The sword that Paul refers to here is the word of God. Since every Christian is on a spiritual battlefield, we all need to know how to handle the sword properly. Only then will it be an effective defensive weapon against the enemy. But it'll also be an offensive weapon we use to demolish the strongholds of error and falsehood. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All Scripture is inspired by God, is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. The Word of God can cut through every attack our enemy can throw at us, down to the very division of bone and marrow. When we use God's Word, nothing can withstand the ability to cut straight to the core of the matter and uncover the truth. It is our responsibility and duty to use His Word to discern the truth and then follow it. 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. Since weapons of our warfare are not worldly but powerful through God for the demolition of strongholds, we demolish arguments and every high-minded thing that is raised up against the knowledge of God, taking every thought captive to obey Christ. When we're getting into there and we're using it properly and getting that knowledge, we can take every thought captive and turn them over to God and let God worry about them. Again, unlike all the other pieces of the armor of God, which is solely defensive, we can use it for both defense and offense. A solid defense is invaluable, but the sword is the only way we can defend against the attacks. We see Jesus use the word of God to counter Satan's attacks in Matthew 4:4-10. But he answered, it is written that man must not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus told them, it is written, do not test the Lord your God. Then Jesus told them, go away, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and effective, sharper than any two double-edged sword, penetrating as far as separation of soul, spirit, joints, and marrow. It is able to judge the ideas and thoughts of the heart. And as we wrap up this morning, everyday life is a battleground, one that we each enter into every day. It is up to us to be prepared for that fight. There are many important things that we must remember and be prepared for each day. But don't neglect the most important preparation of all, and that's spiritual preparation by putting on the armor of God every day. Because our enemy he's cunning, he's evil. And the only way we're going to be able to stand and fight against him is to put on our armor of God, immerse ourselves in truth. Then we can fight those battles and we can stand our ground against anything that we come. And like, go back to that quote from Dwight D. Eisenhower, that our enemy is well-trained, well-equipped, and battle-hardened. He will fight savagely, but if we stand our ground, we can fight back. But we've got to be in God's word and put on that armor each and every day so we can take a stand. Let's close in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time. We could just dig into your word. Help us to put on our armor each and every day so we can stand against the attacks that we face. Just help us to get into your word every day, dig into it so we can understand it more and more and understand more of the truth that it holds. Help us to find those people in our lives, Lord, that we can lock arms with when we're going through difficult times, that can help us get focused if we needed it and help us to stand our ground. And just thank you for those that are visiting this morning, Lord. Thanks for each one that's here. Just help us to focus on you each and every day. We just thank you for your blessings in your precious name. Amen.